Let's open our Bibles to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 4. And if you're looking for 2 Corinthians, it's real close to 1 Corinthians. It's the next book to the right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to read three little verses here, verse 16, 17, and 18. So if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these three verses. And God's word says this from 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we do know what we can't see, and we just have visions and thoughts about what your eternal home looks like. You know, I know that we can't wait to be there with you, Lord, and you and all that glory. But Father, for right now, we are still here on the face of this earth. And Father, today, we need to hear your word and what you're going to tell us about the scripture verse here this morning. So Father, we just ask that our eyes be opened, our hearts be opened, and Father, reveal the truth to us here this morning that we all need to know and understand and learn about you. For the glory goes to you, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we finish our sermon series titled, Church is a Place of Fill in the Blank. What should happen? What are some of the things that should happen when we show up here at church on a Sunday morning? We have covered seven words up till now, and I said at the beginning of this, we would cover eight. What we've covered so far is this: church is a place of salvation, encouragement, worship, learning, prayer, giving. And last week we talked about judgment. When we first started this sermon series about 2 months ago, in the bulletin there was a fill-in-the-blank that said, church is a place of, and I asked all of you to fill in a word that you thought best applied what church was a place of for you. So I'm curious, what were some of the words that you put in your fill-in-the-blank where church is a place of? What were some of the words that you used? Worship? Peace, love, fellowship, there's a good one, okay. A lot of good words, and there was probably a lot of other words we could have used. And some of the words that you used, peace, love, fellowship, overlap in some way the words that I might have used. And I'm certainly not saying that the words that I chose or picked out were better, but they were certainly the ones that the Holy Spirit was leading me to talk about. Which brings us to our eighth and final word of the series. Today we will learn that church is a place of renewal. Renewal. And this morning I want to talk about church being a place of renewal by reviewing the 7 weeks and the words that we used. And I'm going to lay those seven words out in a very practical way here this morning. If you look at the 7 words that we used, beginning with salvation, encouragement, worship, learning, prayer, giving, judgment. They all define this journey that we are on as a Christian. And the journey of a true Christian, it goes against the grain in the mindset of the world outside. And all of us in here who claim to be possessors of the faith, true Christians, I hope we all realize, and I think we know this, that when we go outside these walls, what we believe goes against the flow and the beliefs and the desires of the world out there. And because we do, sometimes there's a battle that ensues. Last week we said that every human being is born with what theologians call a bent towards sin. It's what the Bible calls depravity or the human condition. We all have it, every one of us in here. And unfortunately, once we get saved, that human condition does not go away. Galatians 5:17 tells us this, that the Spirit dwelling within us is in opposition to our human condition. And Paul says that there's a real battle within us, the Spirit and this human condition. It ends up to be Spirit versus self, or Spirit versus the world. And now we are confronted with this battle that's waging in our Christian walk. The Bible tells us this, that for all of us, our human condition of depravity began the day that we were born. Psalm 51 verse 5 says this, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time that my mother conceived me." Now granted, that does not mean that we were sinners while we were inside our mother's womb, and that doesn't mean that we were sinful when we were first born and did sinful things. I honestly believe that there is an age of accountability that we achieve at some point in our life. But what the psalmist is saying is this, you do have a bent towards the human condition. We all have a bent to sinning and failing. And even as a baby, life is all about self. I'm sure you have babies in your life, or at one point in time, we were all babies. We don't probably remember that, but let me share a few things with you. Life is all about self, even as a baby. When we were hungry, we wanted something to eat, didn't we? So what did we do? We cried. We cried because we wanted something, and somebody else fed us. When we were babies, we had a messy diaper, and it was irritating and uncomfortable. So what did we do? We cried. And someone else came and changed our diapers for us. And when we saw other children playing with other toys, we wanted those toys, didn't we? Because they had them and we didn't. So what did we do? We cried. We always wanted someone else to take care of us because, you see, even as a child, our world revolves around me, self. The human condition says it is all about self. It's all about me. But now that we are on this Christian walk, it's not about me anymore. I got to put myself aside. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in Galatians that there's going to be a battle. Because, see, this new creation in Christ wants to take over. But this old self does not want to give up and let go. So let's look at 6 of those 7 words that we talked about over the last 6 weeks. And let's put them in a logical progression. And let's see how each of them present a challenge and a battle to us as believers. And not so much a battle as to what happens inside here in the church, but what we learn in here and then we try to take outside these walls or live in our Christian life. For the remainder of this message, it's going to be more of a practical application than a theological application, so I want you to know that. So we're going to get real practical here this morning. And I'm going to purposely leave out the word salvation because that will be our starting point. We are saved. So let's talk about the battle that we all encounter as believers, as Christians. Let's start with this. Our first word will be this, learning. We said that church is a place of learning. So here's what I'm going to do. Most of you know that when I step on this side of the stand, that this is my Christian side, right? This is the Christian walk. And when I'm over here, this is the old self. So I'm going to do that here a lot. learning. My new creation in Christ wants to learn what this book has to say. And the more I learn, the more I grow in God's expectations of me as a believer. I also learn that by following God's word, wonderful and blessed things are happening in my life. And this is all good. But, over here, the human condition does not want to bow to the authority of this book that was written thousands of years ago. After all, this is 2011, and what is written in this book cannot and does not apply to me. And what would the world say about this new creation in Christ? They would think that maybe I'm an idiot or I'm stupid for wanting to learn what this book has to say. And then we move on to judgment. What does my spirit say? My new creation learns that God's word is going to judge the thoughts and the attitudes of my heart, and that His word is the only true measuring stick of that judgment. And now I realize that there are some things in my life that I'm just going to have to change. But these changes have made a positive difference in how I now relate to my family, to my spouse, to my friends. They see a difference in me. And now I find myself becoming more Christ-like because I have allowed the Word of God to judge my life. But the human condition does not want anything or anyone to judge me. I will define my own set of rules and not God or some book. And don't let anybody else dare judge me. Who are you to do that anyways? And what does the world say about this new self? They also think that I'm an idiot or I'm stupid for allowing this book of all books to judge my actions. I should be able to do exactly what I want. Back over here. But the new self, this new life in Christ, is starting to take root. But the old self still does not want to let go. And I realize that there is this battle that has begun inside me. So I start praying about my situation. Gone from learning to judgment, and now I'm praying. And I pray with a clean heart, and I pray with a clean mind. And I say, Lord, I know where I need to be. And I need your help to take me there. And I pray by faith that the Lord is going to do His work in me. But the human condition does not want to pray. That takes time. And what about all those other prayers that were never answered anyways? I'll bet you God isn't listening. Or maybe God doesn't even care about you. And what does the world think? Well, they probably think I'm an idiot as a Christian, or I'm stupid for talking to an entity that I cannot see, or I cannot hear, or I cannot touch. What a waste of time to pray. The spirit of my new creation is now led into a mode of worship. Now I know God is making a difference in me and in my life. Now I truly understand that I have been saved by grace, and this is not of me. It is a gift from God. And it's finally sinking in that He who began a good work in me will see it through unto completion, and that no one or nothing can snatch me out of the Father's hand. And for that and for so much more, He alone is worthy of all of my worship and all of my praise. But this human condition only desires to worship one thing: self. After all, no one is more deserving I deserve praise and attention for all that I have done. My universe, and actually yours too, should all revolve around me. And the world, what do they think about this new Christian? They also think that I'm an idiot or I'm stupid for worshiping a God that probably does not exist anyways. After all, there is no proof, scientific or otherwise, that God is even real. God falls into the same category as Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. And then my new creation in Christ wants to move from a mode of worship into a mode of giving. I want to give my time, and I want to give my talents, and I want to give my treasure for the glory of His kingdom. I want to store up treasures in heaven. I want to give my all because Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I want to give my treasure here at this church so this church in turn can give to others in the community and around the world that are less fortunate than I am. But my human condition does not want to give anything to anybody. Why should I? I earned it. I'll keep it. And I'll spend it all on me. And what does the world think of this new saved Mike? They tell me that my time is better spent on a Sunday morning just being at home watching TV or maybe going out and playing a round of golf. And what about my talents? Well, my talents could be better spent playing in a rock and roll band on Friday and Saturday nights. And my treasure? Well, that's hard-earned money. And I should keep every penny of it. And now we come upon this final word, encouragement. Encouragement. My new creation in Christ says this, what a change that I have seen in my life. I've been through this, and God has helped me through it. And I've been through that, and God has helped me through it. And now I could use my experiences that I have gone through to help and encourage others when they go through the same thing. I can also encourage others when they stumble on their Christian walk. And I can encourage others as I see them as willing servants to do the work of the Lord. But my human condition doesn't want to help anybody with anything. Life is tough enough for me, let alone trying to encourage you. And no one encourages me anyways. So why should I pass it on? And what does the world say about this saved Mike? They insist and they tell me this, Mike, it's every man for himself. And whatever you do, don't help out the next guy get ahead of you by encouraging him. Just keep it zip, Mike. Don't say a word. Let other people figure those things out for themselves. I want to learn God's word, but there's a battle. I want to be judged by God's word, but there's a battle. I want to worship God, but there's a battle. I want to pray, but there's a battle. I want to give, but there's a battle. And I want to encourage others, but there's a battle. Do you find yourself sometimes like me saying something like this, Lord, I need rest from this battle. Lord, I need refreshed from this battle. Lord, I need renewed from this battle. I want to be Christ-like, but this battle within me and with the world just doesn't ease up and let go. I want to do this, but this just keeps on creeping up and it doesn't let me go. Do you know that all of us in here, we are imperfect people trying to be just like our perfect Savior? Look at the person next to you just for a second. Look at the person next to you. Okay? Tell that person this: I'm not perfect. They already knew it. Look at that person next to you and say this: I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. They kind of go hand in hand in a way, don't they? Let's do this one more time. Look at the person next to you and say this: but I'm trying. I'm sure you have struggles. Struggles from within, struggles from without. The battle of our own human condition, our own depravity that is fighting the Spirit, and the world that is fighting us and who we are as Christians. And I can't help to think that our eighth and final reason why we come to church should be this: because church has to be a place of renewal. It has to be a place of renewal. I need to be here, and I'm speaking personally, I need to be here with other believers. I need to be here with this word. I need to do this so I can renew my spiritual strength, so I can go out there into this world and be a witness for Christ, so I can encourage others, so I can worship, so I can learn, so I can pray, so I can give, so I can judge and be judged, so I can be and live up to this new creation in Christ that He has so freely given me. And my friends, that is a constant battle. Amen? Is there anyone else in here besides me that faces struggles when they leave this door on a Sunday morning? Amen. And my friends, we come in here hopefully to be in unity, to be in like-mindedness. And I know we're all still people and we still say and do dumb things, and even sometimes that happens in a church environment. But by golly, I need your fellowship. Somebody said that word earlier. Church is a place of fellowship. I need fellowship of other Christians. I need to learn this word of God. I need to be in here so this spirit within me can get renewed, because it's another 6 days that I go out there. And I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes by Saturday night, my tank is empty. And boy, do I need some refreshment. And I can't wait to get here on a Sunday morning. And I say that with all honesty, not because I'm your pastor. It's because I just need to be here. I just need to be here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. We read this earlier. Now let's look at it with a fresh set of eyes and see if we look at this any different. It says this: therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We can look at all the difficulties, all the troubles, all the trials, the tribulations, all the battles that wage within us and with the world. And there are many, and all of us are at different degrees of those. But boy, isn't it great just every now and again, at least once a week, to get that cup filled back up with the Word of God and to get that spirit within us strengthened one more time so we can go back out into that difficult world and with that, sometimes that difficult self, and say this, guess what, evil one? Get this, Satan, that he who is within me is greater than he who is within the world. Church is a place of many wonderful things. And there are many great reasons why we really need to show up here on a Sunday morning. We just talked about 8 of them. We could probably go a whole year and talk about 52 of them. So when your son or grandson or granddaughter or whoever comes up to you and says this, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Granddad, Great-grandma, nanny, whatever they call you, why do I have to go to church? This is how you respond. You say this, because church is a place of salvation. And it's a place of encouragement. And it's a place of worship. And it's a place of learning. And it's a place of prayer. And it's a place of giving. And it's a place of judgment. But most of all, it's where I go to get renewed because I need to be there. And I'm going to go and I'm going to get my spirit renewed because I am going to watch God win this battle because I know that there's victory in Jesus. So, get your shoes on. We are going to church. Let's go to God in prayer.